Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. And from our reading for today, Ephphata. I think I ever read a one-word sermon reading, but we know the whole thing that goes along with that. Be opened. So, here we have Jesus trying to get away. There is a theory that has been running around in biblical circles for about 100 years now, which was put forth by a man named Wilhelm Rede. And this man said that what we have in the Gospel of Mark is what's called a messianic secret. That Jesus didn't want people to know who he was. What catches me about that idea, and we find it sometimes where he says, don't say anything to anyone. Can you imagine telling someone whose tongue just got healed not to say anything to anyone? Now some people say, oh, he was using reverse psychology because he knew if he told them not to say something, then they would. But why did Jesus come? To be the great doctor? To be the great physician? If he came for that, why didn't he stay? Sit up there on the Mount of Olives, people flying in from all over the world, say a few words, you're healed, go forth. We certainly know that in our own prayers as a congregation, we lay before the Lord many people who have illnesses and sicknesses and diseases that we want the Lord to help to heal. Maybe through the medicines that people are given or the surgeries, maybe through his own healing hand. But if Jesus came just to heal people, then take the cross away. Because the cross then would have been the instrument that kept him from doing his work. I personally believe, as I read the Gospel of Mark through, that what our Lord is really saying is, it's fine for me to give you this healing. And I'm glad to do it because it's a beginning of the restoration. It says someday everything is going to be healed. I've had shut-ins ask me at times, am I going to be sick like this forever, even in heaven? The Lord says, no. He takes away everything that is broken and restores it. How that's going to be, what that's going to be, we cannot know clearly. But he is a God of healing and a God of restoration. And those things that are the consequences of our fall, the sins and the sicknesses and the diseases that come with our old sinful nature, are going to be undone. Undone because we've all been healed. We've been healed of our brokenness from God. We've been healed when our Lord hung on a cross and cried out, why have you forsaken me? So that we will never have to say that. No matter what goes on in our life, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so the concept of what Jesus is doing in the meantime, as I hear it, is that the Roman Empire is being told, and most people think that Mark wrote to Christians living in Rome to be able to help them tell the story, that what really happened was, let's look at this man. Was he really a bad criminal? And he wasn't. Look the kind of healing that he did. But even on a deeper sense, a deeper level, that we find out that our Lord is here to begin that process of restoration to the way things were before sin entered the world. And we all are weighed down by a variety of different things, either in our own lives or in the lives of others. We've never gotten up for a day on this earth without having some awareness that something wasn't right, that something didn't fit the way it ought to be. And it's not as if God is trying to punish us or spank us until we finally shape up. That's the opposite of everything he comes to do. He comes to take on himself our sicknesses and our diseases. He comes to let us know that we are not in this alone, and that neither are we God telling some other being how to be, nor are we so lost and abandoned that there is no help. He says to this woman, "Why should I bother doing something for the outsiders?" And I can only speculate, knowing what we see in the entire scriptures about our Lord, that he is in no way trying to give her trouble, but to give her a chance to confess that she trusts him alone. That secret is not to be kept hidden. But all of those who go to say, "Well, hey, Jesus is the great doctor. Just go to him and everything will be all right," they will be disappointed, because not everyone gets the healing they want or in the time that they want it. But then Jesus comes to the Decapolis, the area where Michael Dorner was with Mark Schuller and the others, in the city of Hippos up on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, I'm sorry. And the ten cities which were populated in many ways by Gentiles, by Roman citizens and Greeks, not just by Jewish people. And so we know that he goes into the other territories as well. He doesn't mean it that he only comes for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he starts with them. He starts with them because he needs to say to his own people, "I'm here to fix something you can't control." There's no way you can beg God enough or advertise enough or show God that you're good enough to get him to do what you want. We all come as beggars pleading for his mercy. And then we move into the scene where the deaf man comes. The man who is deaf, who can't speak clearly, and he's brought to Jesus. And Jesus stands him up in the middle of the crowd and says, "Hey, boys and girls, I'm going to show you a good one." No, he doesn't. He takes him off by the side. Because our Lord is, even though he's doing those healings, he's here to do something much more. He's here to heal this world of sin and death and the power of hell and Satan and the power of his own father's wrath against us. He's here to fix all of us. Our Old Testament lesson for today is from Isaiah 35. A very close passage to that is from Isaiah 29. The dream that in the future, in the time of restoration, when God would rule again, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the dead would rise. When John's disciples come to Jesus and say, "Are you the one to come, or do we look for another?" he uses those texts and says, "Do you see what's happening? I'm not here to come and fight against the Roman Empire. I'm here to bring about a restoration of every human heart to the Almighty God, so that you can be at peace. You can be really at peace. Be opened." Nice little imperative form. And it works. I will ask those of you who are parents with children at home, does it work that every time you ask them to do something, they do it right away? Really? Those of you who are teachers, every time you say, "Okay, children, pay attention," happens right away. Husbands and wives, parents and grown-up kids talking to each other, every request is met with, "Sure, glad to do it." Sometimes there's resistance. Our Lord never, ever in the scriptures says to somebody, "I won't heal you." That can give us some trouble because we can say, well, when I pray, why doesn't he answer my question right now and my plea for mercy? Well, these are a foretaste of the feast to come. These are a foretaste of what will happen for all of us. But he has answered our prayer, the one he knows we need to pray. Help me to be at peace with you, O God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. And it takes his dying to do it. It takes him taking all our sins and diseases on himself. And we, who confess by faith that he is our God, have been healed of the problem that would last forever, given a peace that this world cannot give. And so as we come to, first of all, worship and thank and praise God that he has given us that promise and that peace. If nothing else, it helps to keep in perspective those things that are not all correct in our lives, that we do not think, first of all, that God is punishing us or shoving us away. When the word was spoken, be opened, his ears were opened. When you hear the words, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins by the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're at peace, assured once again of who you are and whose you are. I baptize you in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And it happens then, not if the child grows up and does what's right. Take, eat, my body. Take, drink, my blood of the new covenant. It's happening right there, not if you show you're sorry enough and have done enough to change your ways. He's the one who heals us and sends us forth on a path of life, not the one who waits for us to heal ourselves and then maybe gets around to loving us. We have all had the demons of sin and death and hell and Satan and God's wrath cast away, and we are at peace with him. We have all had our ears opened and our tongues loosed to hear the good news, and then to find our own way in our own time to say to other people, in the midst of life, I celebrate the eternal life that God has for me. The Holy Spirit of God has gathered us together into this Christian congregation to hear that good news and to go forth to live it out as we scatter into our own worlds to interact with people that no one else here will ever see, and to be witnesses to that good news. Our Lord says, it's eternal life I'm here for. Share that. Tell that. Because through your words and through your deeds, I also, by the power of the Spirit, open hearts to hear about salvation, that others might live forever. If everybody on the planet who is going to become a Christian is one now, it's the end of the world. Every day of delay until the Lord returns is for us to have time to pour his grace out, to tell people why we live as we do, loving and caring and reaching out because of what Christ has done in emptying out one grave with more to follow. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.